Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
You'll be glad you joined us today because we're going to talk about another early football team from Philadelphia that helped comprise the three-team league of the original National Football League. It's the Philadelphia Athletics football team, sponsored by the Philadelphia Athletics baseball team and owner Ben Scheib. Their story's coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we're really going to go back in football history now. And we're going to go back again in the early 20th century, the first couple years even, to 1902, and look at the professional football team called the Philadelphia Athletics. Well, our last look at early professional football teams focused on the Philadelphia Phillies, a rival to the Athletics. And in this edition, we will look at one that could be considered the arch rival, Philadelphia Athletics gridiron team. Both squads shared a similar origin, sprouting from the Philadelphia Athletic Club in 1901. The group was more widely recognized around eastern Pennsylvania as the Philadelphia Professionals, or Philadelphia Pros, were the athletic club from 1901, just for short. And the Pros were the first entirely professionally paid football roster in the Philadelphia area. Penn graduate Wilson Wright was the team's chief financial backer and manager, and one of Wright's first moves was to bring in an experienced football man to help organize a team, and that would be former Penn Quaker captain Blondie Wallace as the person of choice. Well, we talked about that team, and we talked about how most of that team went on to become the Philadelphia Phillies, but not Blondie Wallace. He's the key component here. We also discussed the heated rivalry in baseball's leagues between the American League and the National League, and it spilled over into the pro gridiron genre as well. Remember, there was no organized league of professional football, and baseball was still in its infancy as those leagues were vying for power there. With the owners of the two Philadelphia-based hardball franchises at the team, the Philadelphia Athletics and the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, Ben Scheib was the A's owner, and he asked his baseball team skipper, the legendary Connie Mack, to recruit Blondie Wallace from the Philadelphia Athletics football team to build a roster of paid football stars that would not only compete against the Phillies team of rival owner John I. Rogers that was put together from the majority of the Philadelphia Athletic Club team, but against the team from Pittsburgh as well, as the three teams would form a league called the National Football League. Now, that was 18 years really, before the National Football League as we know it was comprised, which was the APFA in 1920, 1921, 1922. They changed their name to the National Football League. No connection whatsoever. It was only these three teams that only lasted for 1 year. Now, Blondie Wallace recruited some of the most outstanding players to his team from everywhere around. Former Carlisle Indian left tackle Holly Pierce, brother of Bemis Pierce, if you remember, was joined by left end Sims and sometimes a guy named Bader at left end. You're going to see why we had some changes there, because Holly Pierce got injured early on in the season with a very severe head injury. Some of the newspaper articles I was reading said that he had to go to the doctor to have a surgical procedure to help him and patch him back together. Luckily enough for us, for the football historians, he was able to play football again, but you don't see much of him playing the rest of that season, at least for the Philadelphia Athletics. At the right end was a guy named Marion. Left guard was McFarland, and Pop Sweet was at center. Those two gentlemen, we believe, came from the Washington Jefferson College. Kingdon was the right guard, and Captain Blondie Wallace playing the right tackle position. The quarterback was Earl Hewitt from Penn State. And the rest of the backfield was comprised of a man we named as Bader. A McNulty came in later in the season and gave him some good snaps as a back. A man named Reeder. And Bull Davidson was the fullback. The Athletics would go on to have a fine overall record of, a great record of 10-2-2. And with it being disputedly the claim that they were the world champions as they posted a 3-2-1 National Football League mark, that original National Football League. However, it doesn't even appear that they won their three-team league, because statistically, the Athletics and the Pittsburgh Stars were the top two teams of this original NFL, and as was chosen at the beginning of the year and decided, the two top teams between the three would play in a championship game. Well, they did play the Athletics and the Pittsburgh Stars, a game that would decide a champion on November 27th. Well, the game ended in a scoreless tie, but was not enough of a resolution. So Wallace and company wanted to play the following week again in Pittsburgh against the Stars to crown a champion. Pittsburgh Stars won this meeting handily the second time, 11-0, and Commissioner Dave Barry of Pittsburgh announced the Stars were the world champions. The Athletics, rather than concede their rights to the title, would on to say they were the champs. And actually, the Professional Football Research Association's magazine, The Coffin Corner, back in the 1980s, and I believe again was published in 2003, said this, quote, "After a while, the A's players decided that maybe the Saturday game with the Stars could be explained away as an exhibition. Maybe it didn't count. And they were the champs. Eventually, they convinced themselves and enough other people that their yarn even found its way into a few record books," end quote. So, in essence, what they were saying, that first championship game on November 27th ended in a tie. That was it. That was the game. They tied, and statistically, they felt they were better. But the Athletics wanted to play that second game with the Stars. So after they lost that, they started going around telling everybody, "Oh, that was just an exhibition game. That, you know, don't look behind the curtain at that man." You know, those kind of things. But it did. That's what it was counted for. But they spun so much of that into a fabricated story that some people still believe that the Athletics should be the champions. But it looks like all appearances and even the PFRA correspondences agree that the Pittsburgh Stars were probably the champions of that 1902 season. In other words, the sour grapes of the second place team that we know for sure, because on December 6, 1902, the Athletics played a rubber match third game against the Crosstown Phillies, and they won that game 17-6. So that sort of locked up second place for them in a three-team league. And the story of the Athletics is only partially complete, because later on in December of 1902, the team was invited to compete in an indoor World Series of Football tournament at Madison Square Gardens. We've talked about this on some other episodes. It was the concept of Tom O'Rourke, the manager of Madison Square Gardens venue, who was looking for an attraction during the holidays to sell some tickets, put some fannies in the seat. Now, though he could not get a full team of the now disbanded National Football League, he did go to the Pittsburgh Stars, Philadelphia Athletics, and the Philadelphia Phillies. None of them would go in as a full team, but he did coerce some of the players from the Phillies and the Athletics to play together and form one team, which they called the New York team. It was going to be a team that the local New Yorkers would be able to root for. They were, after all, putting the best professional players in the world all on one team. Wallace of the Athletics and Roller of the Phillies joined forces along with some of their former teammates in what looked to many to be the appearances of the old 1901 Philadelphia Athletic Club reunion. The New York Philadelphians, as they were referred to, team was the hands-on favorite to win this tournament, but they were upended by the Syracuse Athletic Club, and that sort of spoiled the party and ended the Philadelphia Athletics and the Philadelphia Phillies playing together as a professional football teams. And we will get into the story next time on the Syracuse Athletic Club that beat this sort of all-star Philadelphia team when we talk about the Watertown Red Blacks, 11, who was sort of that fourth team that many consider to be maybe the top team and claims to the top team in 1902 of professional football. So we'll come to that next week as our look at early football teams continues here at Pigskin Dispatch. But don't worry, we have plenty of other podcasts we're going to be bringing you coming out new. Every Tuesday we're talking with our great friend and historian Tim Brown of footballarchaeology.com, who's going to bring us some great more insights from his website on some football history that's unique. We have some authors coming up, and we're going to have our football history rewind a segment or two this week as well for you to look forward to as we go through football year by year. And you can certainly look forward to that. And don't worry, we have thousands of, and I'm talking thousands of episodes that you can go back and refer to at your favorite podcast provider, or go to pigskindispatch.com, and up at the top there is see all of our podcast link. You can go there and check out all of our podcasts that we've had throughout the years. And of course, sportshistorynetwork.com is another great way to find those. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.